This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is for the players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast. The most 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 plus years in the games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join that PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services that I'm not sure what they are at this point. More conversation happens on our Facebook community group page at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist, but the most conversation undoubtedly happens on our Discord channel. You can get a link for that in the description below. If you happen to really like what we do, please do consider heading over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you. So,
hey. Normally I do it, so I was going to say, like, wonder if Josh will do it. Wonder if he'll take the initiative and, like, good, I appreciate it. Hey, man.
Hey.
How's things?
Good.
Yeah.
I'm in a good mood today.
Me too. I'm in a really good mood today. It's sunny out. You know, I got my shorts on.
Yeah.
I miss shorts.
Yeah.
I miss shorts so
bad. You know
bad.
How much I wear shorts normally.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crushing when you can't. Because I had to wear my track pants so much the last few months that they have holes in them.
Mm.
Too dirty to go buy more. Let me set the scene for you, though. My house, absolutely spotless. Not a single thing to clean.
My house filthy.
Vacuumed, mopped, there's no dishes. I've washed the sheets, fucking everything. Sun shining. I'm living alone. So it's just video games in a spotless house. I put new scent in my Scentsy.
Oh,
put it in a smell through the house. It's a good day. I was driving here. We got a really underrated view. I mean, because we live here.
In Geelong, by the way.
We live in Geelong. You know, everything we see is like it's always been there. But, you know, on a day like this, when you're driving down the Ring Road and you're seeing the big paddocks and all that, it's like, this is really nice. I'm pumping Trivium's best album on the way here, Shogun, best album they've done. It's just nice. It's a nice day.
For me, I like spring nights as well. So last night I went and hosted our buddy Craig, his radio show, The Mullet Show, when he was off at Sportsing.
Yep.
For me, it was, you know, got out and it was still kind of warm, jumped in the car, window down, the nice breeze, pumping some tunes. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I like. I like that spring night drive.
Which reminds me that I need to buy more hay fever tablets.
So. Oh, man, I've been...
Because
my nose is fucked.
Yeah.
My nose is fucked. So I've just been pumping Telfast for the better part of the last 3 months.
Yeah.
Because it helps me able to breathe, which is great. And then with spring coming in, it's just going to get worse. I'm going to double dose it.
Yeah.
Oh, what have you been playing? I don't know the answer.
Just Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Honeymoon period's over. Starting to see kind of... I'm still fucking enjoying it. Still a great game, but you still... I'd wager that I've played it more than the average gamer. Right. I've played a lot of this game. In the 2 weeks it's been out, I've played a fucking lot. And I'm at the end game and I've done everything there is to do. I've done the raid. My light level is 302, and the max is 305. So like even me like seeking gear upgrades isn't, you know, the maximum light level required for an event is 300 for the end raid boss. I'm above it, so it's like, well, I've nothing to do in this game now. Like, I'm not seeking the gear upgrades because I don't need them anymore. So I think a lot of people on Reddit of all places are saying the same thing. It's like, I don't really have a reason to play outside of the weekly reset, like the miles, your big quests reset every week. And that's where you get your big powerful gear from. And outside of doing them, it's just not really much I can do at the moment. So, yeah.
But that is something to the cycle of these games. I'm pretty sure it may not have been Activision, but I think it's another publisher has mentioned it before. They're like, hey, we understand there's a drop-off. We understand people will play in big bursts. They'll drop off. Then that's when we release new content.
Yeah.
So come December with the whatever of Osiris.
Curse of Osiris.
Yeah. Everyone will come back.
Yeah. But they still have their roadmap out. Next week that we're getting the faction vendors back and an event to go with that. But, you know, Max, who I play a lot with, is the same point. You know, him and his group of friends in Destiny 1 would... power through it at the start or whatever the most recent release is and then play one or two nights a week to do the raid because there's nothing else to do outside of that. So I'm at that point now, but it is early days in the game too, so I think expectations are a little too high. You know, it's been out for 2 weeks. You know, we haven't gotten... some things that are in Destiny 1 aren't in Destiny 2 yet, and people go, well, they should have launched with it. But it's, I think them holding him back is a smarter idea to kind of spread out.
Yeah, because so what would happen? You would have bum rushed 3 weeks and then been done anyway, and they go,
"Yeah, you'd have been finished anyway."
Yeah?
Yeah,
and then they'll be like, "We've got nothing to give you. We've given you everything."
And you can't cater primarily to that heart. Like, I'd consider myself hardcore Destiny 2, just with the amount I've played it. You can't cater to them primarily because then they're actually the minority.
Mm.
And the majority is probably between me and you, like you've barely played. But, you know, the majority, I'd say, have, you know, hit level 20 and now they're working on getting their light level up and working towards the raid. I think that's where the majority of the player base is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones you kind of need to cater to. Still enjoying it thoroughly, but being where I am in it now has given me time to play other things.
Oh, really?
Like Final Fantasy IX, the remaster for PS4.
Oh, yeah.
I did buy that last night. I haven't played it yet.
We were bullshitting about it yesterday, and you're like, oh, I don't know whether it's worth the cash.
I was on Destiny last night, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? So I just bought it. Haven't played it yet, but this afternoon's pretty much dedicated to playing that. I think the best of the bunch of the Final Fantasies. While number 8, I've said before, is my favorite, it's for nostalgic reasons, number 9 is definitely the most coherent, because Final Fantasies tend to have that fucking weird stories. There's like alternate realities and there's time travel and all that kind of stuff, and I think Final Fantasy 9 nailed it with just a very coherent story. The systems are pretty easy to get used to, whereas Final Fantasy 8's junction system I still haven't figured out to this day, and materia is kind of weird, but Final Fantasy 9 is just, I'm not going to say basic, this is very tight. You know, it's very simple. You know what you're doing. You know why you're doing it. You know how to do it. And it's presented kind of whimsically. Like, it's very, on the surface, it's very lighthearted. And this is a lighthearted game compared to the other Final Fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
But when the dark stuff happens, it seems darker by contrast. Like, you know,
because there is such a difference between the two.
Yeah, when the tone shifts, you're like, fuck, it feels like a bigger tone shift, because just before you were having a laugh with the characters, and now it's like, fuck, I'm crying now. Whereas, you know, 7 and 8 were quite dark all the way through, and bad stuff happening, like, ooh, that's really bad. But number 9 is presented in the way where it's, you know, it's fun, it's lighthearted, you know, there's jokes and you're laughing, but then when the dark stuff does eventually happen, it kind of hits you a bit harder. So I'm very keen to jump back into that.
Nice.
What about you?
I've mostly been editing videos this week, so I've not actually played as much as I wanted to.
What's happening to that PC building video?
That's one of the things I'm working on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a fucking three-hour video I'm trying to bring down to a lot less.
Getting that Mario video done in time would have been stressful.
Yeah, that was pretty stressful as well. So I links probably somewhere. I went and played Super Mario Odyssey in the Nintendo offices, not about PlayStation, but yeah, it was lovely. Yeah, getting that video done by the embargo date was a bit tough.
Yep.
But
you did. It's got some good views on it.
That working, you know, plus the work's like kind of very, very tough.
Yep.
But
in the time you had, what did you play?
So I've also, I played a couple of hours of PUBG with some of the community for a stream on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Wednesday night. We streamed PUBG for 2 hours on Wednesday. Played it with Jess, who'd never played it before. So for her, it was
been fun.
It was great. So we finally get into a confrontation. They're there, and she's like, bah, 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 shooting this wall over here. I'm like, oh, fuck's sake, I'm already dead at this point. So
Chris was saying the servers were full or something.
Yeah, like so after we just jumped off, it pretty much looked as if PUBG had hit its maximum concurrent players. That's and insane. Its servers maxed out.
So insane. Got a bit more to say about PUBG in a news story later.
What else are we playing? So I finally picked up Ark on PC as well, so I could play with some of the people as well. It runs so much better on PC. Like the controls just feel better. Overall just feels
how
better.
How it should be played, quote
unquote. Yeah, and like, the world's more dense as well. So something as simple as when you spawn on the island, like there's not much around you, but in this one you spawn and it's like there's fucking lush bushes and big stones and dinosaurs.
Like playing Skyrim on low and ultra.
Exactly. Yeah. It's probably the easiest way to explain
all the grass
it.
Grass blades that you don't notice are there, but when you put on ultra, you're like, wow. There's like individual blades of grass on the ground.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it's been at. Now, a lot of my gaming this week and the last 2 weeks has just been, I've edited a video, I'm like, I can't be fucked moving, so I just played it on the PC. So, because rather than going into the lounge room and then, because I have headphones on, I've just been.
What are you
going
to buy the Fractured Butthole on? Now that you've got PS4. This super butte PC, though.
It's PS4. It's fucking South Park.
Okay.
Like, I have the original South Park on Xbox with backwards compatibility, and I have it on PC. I picked up on PC originally because I wanted to get around the blocked sections.
Thankfully, this doesn't.
There are no block sections with this one, so pretty stoked about that. And I played Destiny for about 4 hours, about 2 hour different sessions. Sort
what
of
level are you?
A9.
Okay.
Nine, I think. I think I'm crap. Went to 9 last night.
I have my ult, my hunter is level 13.
Mm.
At level 12, you unlock strikes. So when you get to level 12, I'll do some strikes with you.
Nice. See, for me, it was like, because you and Mac give me shit constantly about not playing
it's
it.
It's playful shit.
Oh, it's totally playful, apparently. But for me, it's like, well, now that you guys have given me so much shit, I'm not going to fucking ask if you can come play. I'll just play when I want to. And I'll play sneakily off to the side.
Like I was saying, though, I'm at the point I need a reason to play the game. So if that's playing with you, I'll fucking play with you. I just want to play it, but I want to have a reason to play it.
So yeah, so I'll just sneakily play a couple of hours when no one's looking. And
until you get called out.
And then, yeah, then Mac goes, hey, Ryan's playing. He must be sick. I'm like, fuck you, Mac.
Well, because the thing was, is that I think it was a couple of days after launch we're playing it. And check the friends list, and Ryan's playing like Game Dev Simulator. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, no. See, I was on Steam, I was playing Game Dev Tycoon because I was testing out how different games would run while streaming. So I had a private stream set up.
Yep.
So I was like chopping in and out of games, seeing what would, you know, fuck with, you know, frames or anything.
So you're doing work?
I was doing work.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then I was playing everybody's golf because I had James with me, and yep. you can't port Destiny. Mm. Everybody's
I've had it a few times, like the controller will run out of battery and I'm like, I'm dead.
Yeah,
I got nothing.
See, because he's sitting with me next to me, and you know, because he likes to, whenever daddy's playing, he has to play, so I give him a controller that's not, you know, just not just play. He plays with it, and then he's like, this isn't doing anything. He's smart enough to this isn't doing anything, and then presses mine.
But even if you just want to jump on and do story missions, I'll come on my hunter because it's a low level, and
that's pretty much what I've been doing. So yeah, last night I did
dick around with
him. I just finished the one on Titan.
Yep, so you're on Nessus now.
Yeah, Nessus.
Next mission will be on Nessus, yep.
Yeah, that's the same sort of world that was in the
beta. You've only got about 7 story missions left.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case.
Because there's 3 on Nessus, 2 on the next planet, and then there's 2 or 3 to finish it, to kind of finish it all off. But between 12 and 12, level 12 and 15, there's no story missions. You have to be level 15 to continue.
Mm.
But at level 12, you unlock the strike, so you level up through doing some dungeons and public events and stuff.
Cool.
But if, like, even if tonight you want to jump on for a bit, you
know? I might. See, I'm not sure what we have planned for the evening, so I may but I may also be, you know, jumping on this old sports bandwagon with Richmond, a team that I vaguely support about 4 years ago, is in the running for the grand final tonight. So
yay.
I'm just more like, I've not seen this in my entire life. The last time they were one, I was barely even an idea. The last time they won was, they got into the grand final, was 1980.
What is it? Last 4 weeks, you've gone from talking PS4 to PC and games to sport. The fuck has happened to you?
Don't worry. Come EB Expo, I'll be all like, games!
Yeah. Plenty of news out of EB Expo.
What? Oh, news, inform the players, is what's happening now.
I tried to segue it.
I fucking know where you're going.
Now, this first news story, I thought I gave a really nifty little punny title.
Mm-hmm.
Super Metroidvania. Now, don't get too excited, but the developer of Super Meat Boy may be working on some sort of Metroidvania game, though it will still be years away. Earlier, whenever this happened, a tweet from the official Team Meat Twitter account showed the developer excited about playing Metroid Samus Returns. Another Twitter user responded by saying it would be so epic if Team Meat made a Metroidvania themselves. Team Meat retweeted the message adding, quote, I think you'll be very happy in a few years. In terms of teasers, it's not much, but it sounds like Team Meat is hinting that they may be working on a Metroidvania of their own. Granted, the in a few years part definitely tells us not to hold our breath, as it's likely still being very early in development.
See, Super Meat Boy is rad. They've got Super Meat Boy Forever, which is coming out on the Switch soon, and then on everything else is essentially an endless runner.
Yeah. It's hard. They've got the Metroidvania thing down because those games are hard. So I think it'll be great. There's Team Meat, I mean, the name's not going to mean much going forward because, you know, Team Meat for Super Meat Boy, but as they unless they bring meat into, unless they call it Metroidvania or Metroid.
Fuck, that'd be clever. Get the branding going. But how long can you run on Super Meat Boy, though?
Well, it's an endless runner soon, so.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Metroidvania is a franchise, genre I really like, and I don't feel like there's enough, like, good stuff to play in it. I've been on the fence for like a year to buy Salt and Sanctuary.
Yeah, it's in the video. It looks
fucking awesome.
I constantly get tempted.
Yeah, I constantly get tempted, but I'm down for more.
Maybe that can be your EB Expo game.
Yeah, it could be. I am kind of in the process of figuring out, do I want to bring the DS or the Vita or the Switch and what games am I going to bring?
See, yeah, because I'm in the same boat. I'm like, well, I guess I think I'll bring the Switch because that way we can play Mario Kart in the hotel room and stuff because now, you know, console portable thing.
You mean Mario Kart by the poolside?
Ooh. Yeah, and there's also, you know, like, I'm like, oh, I can bring the Vita. You know, there's cool Vita games I've always, you know, want to play and I want to finish. And yeah. Or you really get some more chip away at. And it's just kind of like...
I have had Darkest Dungeon on the Vita for a while. Mm. And I need to give that more time because it's actually really fucking good.
Yeah, and like, you know, I'm like, well, I'm 3DS. Like, like, I
want to play Pokemon again.
I'm like, oh.
Having said that, Gold and Silver are
having said that, I would like to play Pokemon again.
Pokemon Gold and Silver on the East.
Yeah, they just dropped a couple of days. So cool. Yeah, because we've got Story of Seasons, A Trio of Towns, which is the sequel to Story of Seasons, which is the same guys that made Harvest Moon. So farming games, get in me.
Mm-hmm. No better time to play farming games than on a plane.
Yep. Just chip it away.
Next bit of news.
Stardew Valley on the Switch, motherfuckers.
It's coming, don't worry. Worldwide shipments and digital sales for Nier Automata have now exceeded the 2 million mark.
Wow.
This is the latest milestone from... Fuck off, Google document. From Platinum Games, critically acclaimed action RPG. In May, Square Enix announced shipments for digital sales of Nier had eclipsed 1.5 million units worldwide. The game is currently available on Steam and PSN at a discount of 36%.
On the US?
For US. No, ours as well.
Hey, you can pick it up.
No, because it's still $66, because it still sits at $99. But EB Games also are selling pre-owned copies for $58 as well.
Hey.
Still too much. I'm waiting until it gets down to about the $30 mark. Okay. I'm super keen to play this game. I've been looking at it since it launched. But I think I'm fitting into the patient gamer like genre, where you wait until they're dirt cheap.
See, because you have that advantage that, you know, because with what we do is we've kind of shifted away from reviewing things timelily.
Mm. Unless we get asked to.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's like, because you're not the one that, like, because I've been doing all the streaming and stuff, you're just like, I'll play whatever I want. You want to play it? No.
Play what I want, like, when I want.
Because I'm still fucking bust my ass over here.
Yeah, yeah. If you didn't live so far away, I'd be able to join in more.
Hey, I built this house, so you're the one that can move.
Yeah, my lease is up next year and I've got some plans.
Yay!
Square has also announced that the Nier Automata / Nier Gestalt and Replicant...
The house two doors down is for sale, if you're interested.
Oh, that's cool. I can't buy. What do you fucking DeLorean as they come. The original soundtrack for the game on vinyl box set will be available to pre-order soon and will be released in December. The box set features four vinyl LPs with a variety of tracks selected by the series composer Keiichi Okabe, and also sports exclusive illustrations from Tokyo Ghoul illustrator Sui Ishida. So one thing I've heard about Nier 2 is that the soundtrack.
I haven't heard the soundtrack, but the vinyl pack looks rad.
I haven't heard it, but I've heard of it, and that, you know, the soundtrack is fucking banging. Some more Nier news. It appears that Nier fans may have more content to look forward to as Square Enix is looking to bring new talent for, quote, planning work and, quote, product scenario creation related to the franchise. And then there's a thing about them looking for more staff. So the franchise is heavily revitalized because the original Nier was
not PS well received, yeah.
One or two?
Yeah.
Way back. It didn't really leave much of a mark except being a cult game, but Nier Automata, fucking, it's smashing it. I wouldn't be surprised if it had a couple of Game of the Year.
I think we can certainly be considered. Like,
it'll be in there for music, from what I've heard, at least. But even maybe environment design or something, because it looks awesome. And I'm so keen to play it at some point.
But what else are you super keen for, Josh?
Monster Hunter World's got an official release date. Monster Hunter World will be released worldwide on January 26, 2018 for Xbox One, PS4 and a PC release to follow at a later date, as seems to be the trend lately.
Optimization.
Capcom has announced a series Arkham Knights of special editions, pre-order bonuses and a PS4 Pro special edition. Announced at Sony's Tokyo Game Show conference, which we'll be talking about later, the game will see a number of versions upon release. The digital deluxe edition will come with the bonus samurai armor set, three gestures, hairstyle, face paint, and all the other usual fucking pre-order bullshit. A physical collector's edition will come at $150 US and comprises the game, all digital deluxe content, a soundtrack download or a CD if you're in Japan, an art book, and a figure of the game's new box art monster, Nergigante.
Ninja Gundy!
Finally, Capcom has also announced a PS4 Pro Special Edition with a themed console and controller, but it'll sadly be Japan only at this point, but that console looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, I've heard good...
It looks so good.
It's all red, yeah?
It might... Yeah, with like, I think, a dragon on the face or something. That might have pushed me to get a Pro if it was available in Australia.
Wait and see.
I have to wait and see. This game looks so good.
So good.
This game looks so... And I know you're not a big fan of like the Japanese games, but you got to admit this game looks fucking
no, like
rad.
Monster Hunter has always been a series that's caught my interest. A buddy of mine picked up on the Wii U. Mm. No, it's not the Wii U, the Wii. And it was Monster Tri or whatever it was back then.
Yeah.
And it, I'm like, oh, that looks really interesting. I'm not playing on the fucking Wii though. And then it's like, hey, there's all these other ones on the DS. I'm like, these games seem too huge for DS. I don't like it. So having it come to PS4, it looks fine. They're going to do the scope that I want to see and the depth that I want.
It's the kind of game where, you know, there is drop-in, drop-out co-op play. But it is like, it seems to be anyway where, you know, you've got your armor, you've got your big, stupid Japanese size swords, and you're just alone on this world, and you know, you need to do the whole, like, cooking yourself food to keep yourself healthy and all that. And just seeing, like, you know, you're playing in this big world and then, you know, the sun sets and you're, like, at a campfire making some food and you've put your tent up and all that. It's just the kind of game you get lost in for fucking hours.
It's like Ark.
Like Ark, but not dumb.
Yeah.
And Monster Hunter has always been, like, the pinnacle of, like, insane creature design and monster design. You know, like the T-Rex, it had like the things.
Big
and
frill that came out the top for some reason. Yeah. And then.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ark though, on a side bit of news before we jump into the next one, Ark Park VR.
Ark Park.
So it's like Jurassic Park, but Ark, coming to PlayStation VR in December.
I did see that.
Woo!
Dinosaur VR.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I liked Robinson the Journey, because it was just dinosaurs in VR.
Yeah.
Then the gameplay made me very ill.
Ark is a thing. A thing that's here to stay. This next bit of news I've titled Battle Bust.
Something that is not staying.
Not staying. Battleborn will not receive any future content beyond an update coming this fall, whenever that is for us. In a quote, as of this week, there will be no more battle plans.
For now-ish.
They call their updates battle plans. That's cute. And there is currently no planned content after the fall update, creative director Randy Varnell said in a post on the Gearbox forums. The fall update will include minor balance changes as well as a number of Borderlands-themed character skins, including the likes of Claptrap and Zero. Varnell also spoke to the future of Battleborn and the status of its online service, assuring fans that Battleborn is here to stay. Nothing is changing with Battleborn, except we're ditching it. And the that's not part of the quote. And the servers will be up and active for the foreseeable future. In like 6 months or so, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
In light of this news, Varnell will be shifting focus to, quote, play a significant role on a highly anticipated but unannounced game. Given Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford's tease at PAX West, this unannounced game is most certainly Borderlands 3.
Yay, the movie Borderlands 3. Battleborn's all what was shit from, it was like,
didn't, it became a meme.
It didn't look good from day one. When we tried to play it at PAX a couple of years ago, every time we went there, they're like, it's all fucked up.
It's not working.
It's not working. So like, they come back in an hour. Came back in an hour, all fucked up. Like, we actually want to give this a go. Like, what's going on? And like, it was just fucked up all day. Yeah. I think no one played it the entire day.
I mean, Overwatch just destroyed it.
Bad timing. Real bad timing.
Bad timing. I don't know who was developing first. It doesn't really matter at this point.
Yeah.
But it is safe to say that Overwatch caused the demise of Battleborn, which is unfortunate.
Beat
but
the piss out of it.
Borderlands 3, I'm cool. I'm in for that. That's wicked. Because
I do have the hands collection.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and so does Max.
It's still installed, but
we could all play.
You should.
At any point. But I've played Borderlands 2 so much at this point that I just... It's not...
Have you played the pre-sequel, though?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Oh.
It's probably rated the lowest out of all.
I was going to say, we could play. If you haven't played the pre-sequel, we could play the pre-sequel.
I started it. I played for a few hours, but... Yeah. But the Telltale Borderlands
game... All the strain in the pre-sequel.
The Telltale Borderlands game, Tales from the Borderlands, arguably the best Borderlands game there is, because it's so good. It's so good. But it'd be interesting to see what they do with Borderlands 3, because, you know, the formula is well accepted at this point, but they do need to evolve it a little bit, I think. So it'll be interesting. But it'll still be a few years away.
Yeah, easy.
Next and final bit of news for this week. A bit of Fortnite news. This will tie into PUBG a little bit as well afterwards.
And but now, before we dive into this, I should mention as well that we did get a little bit of a correction with our previous spew rant on Fortnite. Although there are those paid versions right now, you do pretty much get everything out of the box. So you know how before it was like, oh, it's a free-to-play game, but it's in beta and you play X amount of dollars and it's technically paid beta.
Oh, yeah, you have to buy Founders Pack to play the
beta. You get a lot of shit.
Yeah, and apparently you get more... For the amount you spend on the Founders Pack, you get more than what you would spending that money on the micro.
And that's great. And depending on what tier you buy, your loot drops are different.
Yeah.
Like, it registers that you're a deluxe pack owner, so you'll drop different things.
Yeah.
An example is, on one of the tiers, they'll drop you game codes.
That's sick.
That's how I got a code for Fortnite.
Oh, really?
A buddy of mine's playing it, and then the game dropped. That's the weird. Fortnite code. He said, hey, we were talking about Fortnite at work. Do you want to play it? I'm like, Yep.
But at, to be fair, at that point when we were talking about it, there was no clarification from anyone.
At that time, yes. But there was a little bit, but not in the same information that we know now. So there's a correction from us. We were wrong. It looks like this is actually going to be a thing.
Mm.
And what they've done, they've actually done the good kind of support.
Fortnite's latest new mode, Battle Royale, will be free to play when it launches on September 26th, so tomorrow, as a release of this show. All players across Xbox One, PS4, and PC will be able to play the 100-player PvP mode for free. In Battle Royale, skydive onto an island area, scavenge for weapons, run from encroaching electricity field, and fight your way through there. You know the drill. You know the drill at this point. Fortnite lets PC and PS4 players play together, but has announced nothing in regards to crossplay. That's actually for the next bit of news, never mind that. So, this is obvious... So, this is obviously essentially Player Unknown Battlegrounds for PS4, this particular mode. And in the statement that Fortnite developers put out, they did mention Player Unknown Battlegrounds, you know, saying we really dig it, we really like it, and we feel like this mode would actually fit perfectly in our game, which it will.
Side note.
Yeah.
PUBG dev threatens, quote, further action as it takes issue with the, quote, similarities in Fortnite's new mode.
No.
We have also noticed that Epic Games references PUBG. This was never discussed with us, and we do not feel that it's right.
I know, but if anything, it's the opposite. The fact that they openly acknowledged PUBG and let people who might not have known about the game know about it. Mm. If you like this mode, there is a game called PUBG. This is where we're taking the idea from. But everything, like... It's a weird situation for starters because it is very much the indie dev going up against Gearbox instead of the other way around, right? So that's interesting in itself.
Grand Theft Auto right now have a very similar setup.
Yeah, pretty much exact.
And they don't have a problem. They don't have a problem with Rockstar because they're gonna fucking lose.
Yeah, exactly. But they'll lose against Gearbox as well.
Epic Games.
You'd argue that Player Unknown isn't further iteration on H1Z1. You know, that's everything is iterative, yeah? And Fortnite, while that game mode is pretty much spot on, you still... Fortnite iterates by keeping its core, like building your towers part of it as well. It's not a X for X exactly the same because Fortnite has its own mechanics and everything. Ugh, cringe word for you, I know. But Fortnite has its own way of doing things, which it has kept... for this battle royale.
But you are spot on there. So the difference between PUBG is all about survival. It's all about just getting in and going and then not dying.
Yeah.
With Fortnite, it's the opposite. It's the same thing as you come in, you survive, and you keep pushing forward. But at any point, you can hunker down and build a fort, which makes you, one, a giant target, and two, completely changes the gameplay.
Yeah, it does.
Like, so it's bringing in their systems into what is, you know, like that. There is no true thing as an original. No. Thing. Everything is slightly iterative of something else.
And like I said, PUBG isn't the first game to pit players against each other for survival either. Like there was H1Z1. There's DayZ. A few more on DayZ.
Yeah, which DayZ was then a mod of Armor 3.
Exactly.
Then you've got Dota, which was actually a mod of World of Warcraft. Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
Like all
and then
these
you got League of Legends, which took the Dota formula, and then 100 other MOBAs after it. Everything is iterative, and especially with the news that PUBG may or may not. Probably isn't coming to PS4. This is really welcome to me anyway, because I get that PUBG is very protective of what they've got, but it's quote unquote not exactly their idea either, because they've looked at other games and gone, oh, we should take this and we should take that, and then we've made this. And you know, Fortnite is kind of doing the same thing. It's like, your game mode will be perfect for ours if we incorporate the way we do things into that type of game mode. It could be really fun. And you know, actively acknowledging, you know, and PUBG, you know, we love your game, and putting it out in the press release, I think was, I don't know why PUBG is taking offense to that. I'd be taking it the opposite way.
Yeah, what's the old sort of saying? It's like, you know, imitation is the best sort of flattery, right?
Yeah.
Because people think what you're doing is so good that they want
to try. And I don't believe for a second that Fortnite doing this will affect PUBG at all. Like we said before, the servers were at peak. Whatever that number is, 500,000 plus, you know.
It's over a million.
Nothing like this is going to stop PUBG, and you can't stop every iteration ever. You can't coin a game mode. Mm. You can't put your
capture the flag, deathmatch. Yeah. You know, like these things are standard.
You can iterate on it and make it your own, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know why Fortnite. PUBG. I should look up the dev. I forgot the dev.
Player Unknown. That's him.
Blue. Publisher is Blue.
Blue.
Something.
Not Blue Point.
Something like that.
I don't know.
I see, PUBG is on such a big roll right now, I just kind of would have left it, I think. Because now you're putting your name out there and now you're getting into this big political copyright kind of conversation. And I don't think they need it. I mean...
I think it's bad press.
Yeah, it's bad press. And I think they should have just kind of kept quiet about it. Anyway, this next bit of news I've titled, Crossplay is so easy, it was done by accident. Now, Ryan and I understand each other's views on this, but we do sit on opposite sides of the fence for the most part. It's a contested conversation.
Yeah. I'm more center, but you are very much, yes. I'm like, nah.
A player named Pre_Cision_ I'm going to call him Precision here forth.
He shouldn't change his name.
Yeah.
If it's on PlayStation, he can't.
Was among the... he's on PlayStation, so yeah. Was among the final five survivors of Fortnite's Battle Royale mode when he was killed by a player with a pretty unconventional name for PS4. On Reddit private messages, he told me, quote, I noticed the gamer tag of this dude had a space in it, which was bizarre because PSN names, you can't have a space. I figured it was just the game glitching out, so I searched for his tag with an underscore on PlayStation Network without any luck. He booted up his Xbox One and typed it in there for the hell of it, he said. Immediately, he found the player whose achievements indicated he owned Fortnite. After reaching out to the player, Precision says he confirmed the identities matched. Crossplay is so easy that some intern over at the Fortnite server is like, flick the switch. It's like, now everyone can play together. Yeah. Oopsie daisy. Mm-hmm. I find the timing of it really weird. Like, was it an accident? Was it not an accident? Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, because it's a contested conversation at the moment. And I don't know, this the timing is weird. And I find it interesting that it is that easy.
Oh, I know it's that easy.
Theoretically, just the flick of a switch.
But although we've had different stances, like, my issue is not with the action of doing it. Like, if I know it to be that easy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as in, like, well, why would it not be that easy? Because you're not using Sony servers. You're using Fortnite's servers. So all they need to do is just, you know, allow different people in.
Yeah.
Right? That's all it is. It's a different registry.
Yeah.
So to me, that makes perfect sense. But, like...
I don't want to go down this
road. No. My previous point still stand on Sony. I'm more than welcome to say yes or no. It's sort of their prerogative.
Definitely is. But think about for the players. So just think about us. Think about our podcast name.
Point still stands. If it was the other way around, Microsoft would be just as stubborn.
Yeah, but they're not. That's not where we are right now.
Yep.
End of that.
Hey, but you can play with PC though. PC and PS4 is pretty cool.
That doesn't sound fun. Mouse and keyboard against the controller. That sounds no fun at all.
This is
an interesting, you know, because now at least like Sony can't argue that you quote unquote can't do it. Like it's a difficult thing.
I don't believe they've said that at any point.
But they can't now. From this point, they can't even like. Mention that being an issue.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, they've not made any stance saying it's too difficult to do.
I wonder how much Fortnite's getting its ass kicked from Sony, like, you fucking motherfuckers. How could you fuck this up? Yeah. That's it for the news. There was no top-selling games list at this point.
Yeah, which is weird. Yeah, for the answer is Destiny.
I'm going to assume number one is Destiny, number two is Lost Legacy, number three is Crash Insane Trilogy. I think it's pretty safe.
And then fifth is Rugby.
Rugby, GTA. NBA 18 will be in there quite high, I'd imagine.
Ooh, actually, ooh, okay, hang on. In that case, I think Destiny's number one,
yeah.
NBA's two.
Mm-hmm. Lost Legacy three? No, I think Crash will be three still.
Yeah, I think Crash might be third, Lost Legacy probably fourth, then the usual mix of GTA, Last of Us, Wildlands, etc.
And no Call of Duty.
No Call of Duty.
That's it for the news this week.
What else has been happening this week, Josh?
Are we not going to, like, segment transition?
Oh, okay. So, when we're done with the news, we normally transition in to the main topic of the show, which I was trying to pass to Josh to do, but for some reason, he didn't want to do it. So, in the last week, we had the Tokyo Game Show in, funny enough, Tokyo.
I would have been happy to say that bit. It's just so blunt.
It's fine.
If you said, you know... yeah, that's it for the news this week, and now we move into our feature thing, Josh.
That's okay.
And I would have gone blank.
So, with PlayStation being a Japanese company, of course they had a presence at the Tokyo Game Show. And Josh, being the big Japanesey fan than me, that's not a real sentence, he's going to run through it and we're going to chat about it. He's probably going to have more thoughts than I will. I'll add when I can, and then I want to talk about something in regards to conferences, and we're done.
Okay. Just going through what they what was announced at Tokyo Game Show 2017, just go down the list. So there was a trailer for a new shooter from Square Enix called Left Alive.
It's exclusive, yeah?
I don't know. But the trailer just didn't do it for me at all.
The trailer didn't say anything.
All I saw was a brief thing of, I think, shooting like a giant mech suit, like a big Transformer robot, but I don't know. The thing with Tokyo Game Show is because primarily everything is presented to you in Japanese, it is hard to kind of get a grasp on what's happening. But the show did open with a sick Japanese rap for starters.
Yeah, awesome. With an insane bass line. Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. It was rad.
Yeah, there's a teaser trailer for Left Behind, Left Alive. It is odd to see Square Enix doing a shooter. It's a third-person shooter.
What's fantastic about this for me that sort of captures my attention is that the art style and the cover is the gentleman whose name, for the life of me, I can't remember, probably would have butchered it anyway, did all the artwork for the Metal Gear Solid games.
And it shows.
So even the character that they show in the game actually looks like a character from Metal Gear.
We got the Monster Hunter World release date, which we've already talked about because it was so exciting. We got a Shadow of the Colossus trailer for the PS4. Did you watch it, the trailer?
I did.
What do you think? It looks rad.
It looks rad, but it's just like, because I don't have that attachment, I'm like, yeah, I'll play it when it comes out. I'm not like, aah!
Even after
Last Guardian.
Yeah, I forgot the name. Yeah, it was so good. It was so forgettable. I forgot what it was called. Final Fantasy IX for PS4.
As you mentioned.
It's out now.
So what are the differences? Is there any mention there about the difference between the two?
They've just remastered it. So they've given it...
up-res.
Up-res, you know, the cutscenes are actually quite clear. Because that's the thing is, you know, you have this memory and you go back and watch it and you're like, this looks so bad. At the time, I thought it looked great. But it looks like, quote-unquote, a current release game now instead of it looking like an aged PS1 title.
Trophy support.
And trophy support too. Also, it included a high-speed mode, so you can play the game at like twice the speed, and the option to turn off random encounters, as well as a booster that lets you automatically master the weapons and gear you have equipped. So yeah. Cheats, essentially.
Cool.
But Max was saying that he'd only played if it had the high-speed mode, because a lot of it, you know, a lot of the combat, just in the trash mobs, you're just hitting A. It's like, get the fight over with. So high-speed mode is cool. Zone of the Enders, the second runner, remastered with PSVR, or with VR support.
Speaking of Metal Gear Solid, another the Kojima game. This was the one that came between Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid 2.
Looks sickening to play.
Yeah, it looks like vomit.
Yeah.
It looks like vom the game. VR stands, in this one, stands for vomit.
Yeah.
Removal.
Noctis joins the Dissidia Final Fantasy game. So Noctis being the lead for Final Fantasy 15. Dissidia is essentially Tekken for Final Fantasy.
Okay.
And you bring in like your guardian, like your summons and your big swords and all that kind of stuff. But it does also have a story mode as well. Dissidia, I think, was originally on the PSP. Quite an acclaimed game. If you're a fan of the franchise, which you're not, that's a shame. Dragon's Crown confirmed for PS4. Just following on from last week where it was leaked. It is a thing. There is a trailer. Looks great. Can't wait to play it again. Hopefully for free. Wink.
Who's publishing it?
I don't know.
I'll find out. We'll look into it.
And the Japan Studio VR Music Festival. Did you see this?
The
upcoming PSVR experience, which features various Sony Japan Studio franchises, including Toro and Gravity Rush, will be released in Japan on September 20. So I think it's like an actual music festival that you get to tune into with your PSVR. That could be fun.
Yeah, get some Persona peeps up there.
What?
Get some Persona peeps up there. That's what would be interesting.
Now, this is probably the highlight for me, though. Neko Atsumi Cat Collecting Sim coming to PSVR. I'm going to read it. Virtual reality experience for the cat collecting sim Neko Atsumi was announced for PSVR. While details are scarce, we know the VR experience will be released for PSVR in 2018, and developer Hitpoint is involved in the project, and they've released a logo for it. Sounds cool as fuck.
Have you seen the game on phones?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so it's all about collecting cats and keeping them all well maintained and whatnot. And there's like a fat cat that comes and eats everybody else's food. Oh, so you gotta like keep it all behind. Yeah,
it's like Tamagotchi.
So you have like a house and you fill it full of cats. That's pretty much the point.
So you change it to dogs and I'd be all in. Yeah. I'm not a cat person because I'm allergic.
But they're digital cats.
It'd
be funny if you get allergic in VR, but your brain freaks out.
Well, if the cats are naked, I'm fine. Like if they're shaved. Shaved poutine.
Cat.
But yeah, I mean, it just looks like fun.
Yeah, it looks stupid
fun. If I had a VR, I'd play it. Mm. I don't, so I won't. That's it, really, from TGS. Expectations are probably a bit higher, trying to segue into what you want to talk about. Because anytime there is a conference, you know, PSX and TGS and all that, all the rest of it, it's like, what are they going to announce? What are they going to announce? And can normally lead to a bit of disappointment. You know, this being TGS, you know, everything is very Japanesey. Probably not what a lot of people were looking forward to. Pass to you.
Yeah, so my sort of discussion that I wanted to come out of this was along those lines of expectations when it comes to conferences. If I hear another fucking person say, oh man, for X conference, we're going to hear about Last of Us 2 and Death Stranding and what Sucker Punch is doing. I mean, like, there's all these repeats of the same shit. And my, like, I think it comes from two places. One, people don't really understand these conferences. And they just, and like, they have the expectation for the biggest thing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they expect the biggest thing at E3. And you don't get it. So it's like, well, it must be at the next conference then. You don't get it. Well, it must be at the next conference then. Because they're due to announce X or the release date of Y. You know what I mean?
So here we go. So we'll run off what... So I reached out to the old community. See what they have to say. And Joel's added this. Quite a long one. Take a drink.
It's empty and it's really cold.
Oh, the last few drops. E3 is still seen as that time of the year where if you have something to bring to the table and show off, because it's wise and it's the great to do so. There's loads of eyes watching, plenty of press to get hands on and spread your announcement for you. So it is still the only time of the year I expect big announcements from any of the big publishers. With Sony pulling out of any Gamescom conferences, it's become more of a, quote, come and play an updated version of our E3 Build of the Game conference. Tokyo Game Show, I never expect anything big from unless it's a third-party Japanese title, and quite a lot of what gets known there never hits our shores anyway. People need to pull in their expectations when it comes to Tokyo Game Show. Besides, E3 is the only time of the year that excites me now, other than E3 is PSX. Sony pretty much commits to two big shows, he wrote shoes, a year, roughly 6 months apart, E3 and PSX. And this is E3, I think it was clear certain things were held back to have a bigger impact at PSX. So, well, the reason I sort of wanted to read that was because I think he's got a good point there. There are so many stupid amount of conferences throughout the year. You know, as the big ones are obviously E3, and you got Gamescom, Paris Games Week, Tokyo Game Show, and then now PSX. So if they release something new at every single one, like, that kind of it waters it down. So people are coming, you know, with Tokyo Game Show, that there should be some expectation because they are being a Japanese company. You'd think they'd be able to do something cool. So yeah, once again, going around the internet and having a look at what people's expectations were of Tokyo Game Show, because me, I had none because I'd fucking know what was going on. I was like, it's Japanese, mate. So some on the lines of, you know, we're going to see more Kingdom Hearts. We're going to see Bloodborne 2, Final Fantasy 7. Yeah. Nier did really well. Maybe we'll get a remaster of the first Nier and all this sort of stuff. I'm like, all of that is, well, the answer was a no, but all that is stupid.
Wow. As in stupid to want or stupid to expect?
Stupid to expect.
Yeah.
Like, Bloodborne was so well received that they want that in the Western market as well. They want that. That would be a PSX thing.
Yeah. Well, Bloodborne will be front and center at a major
conference. Exactly, right?
Even next year, like, we've seen, like, for E3 next year, you know, we know we get, you know, God of War, you know, what else is coming?
They're all coming earlier, yeah.
Bloodborne 2 could be the big game at E3 for PlayStation next year. Because, one, you look at what else they've got. And we know Death Stranding's ages away, you know, depending
Kingdom on... Kingdom Hearts is ages away. Final Fantasy is fucking even further away.
Depending on the release date for Days Gone. But even that wouldn't be the header of the conference because it's just a release date. We know this. Whereas, you know, Bloodborne 2, that is like E3 headline worthy, like the official announcement and the trailer and all that kind of stuff. And you got to think, like... you got to also think of where... those games are centralized. You know, God of War is a Western franchise. It's not going to be at TGS in a big way or at all, because TGS is very much, here's everything we've got for the strictly Japanese market, or primarily the Japanese market. You know, we saw Dragon's Crown, there was Final Fantasy, there was Zone of Enders. It's all very Japanesey stuff. So you got to think of where the conference is taking place and who the target demographic for that particular conference is. And TGS isn't for the Western market for the most part.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Because someone also, I did see someone also mention Persona 5, and they're like, whether we'll get more information about the Persona 5, you know, arenas or the remakes or whatever the fuck they are. I'm like, no, that game came out literally this year in the Western markets. Like, and it came out, how, like 6 months before that in Japan. Mm. Like, there is, that is not enough time. Like, if they were to do that in the same, with it released in that same, in the same year, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
So my question to you, Josh, do gamers need to put their expectations in check here?
Oh yeah, but we know gamers, we know internet gamers, we know very entitled bunch, very I know what I want and I want it now. But yeah, I mean, and the thing is, going into a conference with no expectations leads you to have a happier time, because if you're hanging out for this one announcement that doesn't happen, it sells the whole conference for you, right? Whereas if you just go in and just watch it and just take everything at face value, I think you'll have a better time.
Now, don't get me wrong, like, I have been probably ruined by expectations in the past.
Ruined?
Ouch, you know, that's a big word. When I... See, my concern is, like, we've been doing this for a good handful of years now.
Mm.
My concern is we're getting very... I'm getting very cynical. Mm. I know I'm getting very cynical.
Yeah.
So, like, when someone's like, you know, with me, like, that's stupid. That would never happen. That's me being cynical. That's not me being, like...
Optimistic.
Yeah, you know, like, not... Because like, they're like, oh, man, wouldn't it be so cool? I'm like, that's stupid.
But you just can't agree. It would be cool. It's not going to happen, but it would be cool. You don't get on that side.
No, I'm just like, that's stupid.
That's stupid. Shut the fuck up.
Like, no, that's not going to happen. You know what you're going to get? Yeah, fucking Final Fantasy. And you did. So there you go.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that is also a concern. So maybe my expectations should be higher. But at the same point, you know, my expectations weren't ruined for E3 this year, as an example. So, like, watching it, I'm like, we got to get a release date for God of War. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And like, see, like, that's a simple one. Like, I'm not wanting a big announcement, you know. Granted, I did with EA. I was like, give me fucking Skate 4, you piece
pretty,
of
pretty
shit.
Pretty safe to say you'll get the God of War release date at PSX.
I would say so. Because and it would be...
It's so close to coming out. And it'll probably take the Horizon slot in March.
Yeah.
That Horizon was in this year. But see, that's the thing is, you know, at E3, Sony's kind of trend is at E3, here's all the big stuff, and then at PSX it's like, okay, now here's the ones we have dates for.
Yeah, that, like,
and here's an update on what you saw at E3.
Here's updates and sort of little bits of what we need. So, like, last year we got the Lost Legacy.
I mean, it's PSX. On camera, so that's fine. Really annoying me.
Yes, we got, you know, last year PSX, we got the Lost Legacy. Mm-hmm. That was a nice boom, and then we did get that teaser for The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the thing is, what people are understanding as well is, with announcements like The Lost Legacy, like Last of Us, you know, these are for the PlayStation fans. So TGS is a general show. Gamescom, general show. Paris, general show. So what they want to do is they target, you know, E3, target the mass audience to the big fucking announcements. Come PSX, we get the ones that we care about.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there was someone else that had a comment.
High expectations.
What about you though? Like, what are your, what are, like, how do you keep your expectations in check? How do you sort of
fit? I think so. Like I said before, I go in and watch them for what they are.
Mm.
You know, I have my thoughts. Oh, wouldn't it be sick if we got this? And wouldn't it be cool if we got that? But I think I take worst case scenario. It's like, oh, what if we get a date for God of War? It's like, oh, that'd be really cool. But what if we don't? Well, that's okay.
See, like, using God of War as an example, that is a realistic expectation because that game has been in development for a very long time. You know, we heard about it not last year, the year before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's two E3s it's been at. Like, okay, so that's two, you know, that is a realistic expectation. Last of Us 2, I believe, is an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah. I burned myself with E3 Bethesda's expectations because I could have sworn they were going to announce a new engine and possibly Elder Scrolls 6. Launching on it, because it seems like the right step for them. You know, they are definitely due for a new engine. You know, I think Fallout 4 kind of showed the limit of what they can do, and it is time for them to update. So, but I was probably expecting it too soon. I mean, I don't know how much work goes into a new engine, but I imagine it'd be a fucking lot. So, for all I know, they probably are, and they just haven't mentioned it yet.
Yeah.
I thought that was my big high hope for Bethesda, and I did burn myself. But again, at the same time, I was like, it's probably not going to happen anyway. Mm.
So Chris Conway also throws in, he goes, I take, quote, rumors for shows for what they are, rumors. I think that kind of hype hurts people, hurts people and lets them get mad because the game they wanted to see didn't get a mention and then they trash the show.
Because so-and-so over on Reddit comment said, oh no, we're definitely, my uncle works for Sony and oh, we're definitely getting a date for Days Gone this year.
And Buddy also adds, one thing I will say, even though I love announcements and do get excited, sometimes the over-the-top reactions at E3 are a bit much.
In regards to...
people like, throwing off their seats, that sort of shit.
Oh, I mean, it's a show. You know, you got it. It's like...
in the room, yeah.
Think like to any fucking Markiplier video, you know? It's
when overreaction gets views.
Overreaction gets views. It really does. And... but, you know, Markiplier is fucking funny as well. Even though you know he's overreacting, he's still very funny. I mean, there's certain ways to go about it, obviously. Yeah, like Chris said, don't bank on rumors because they're just rumors until it's actually announced. So I just wait for the official word.
Oh, and we've got to also mention in the news as well, Rockstar, speaking of expectations, Rockstar announced that on their website on the 28th of September, they have some sort of announcement for what they should. It's in the Red Dead font. We assume it's a Red Dead Redemption. I reckon it's a gameplay trailer.
Delay.
I'm not seeing a date. I'm gonna say I reckon it'll be a gameplay trailer with 2018.
I don't know, but doing that kind of hype and not giving a date is like shooting yourself in the foot.
But it's Rockstar.
It is Rockstar. But the casual gamer doesn't know Rockstar.
That's what's
true. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's the thing. Expectations will be like, it's going to be a date. It's going to come out this year.
It's going to come out on that day. They'll be like, it's out now.
Damn. No. They could do that too. Sony, Rockstar could fucking do that.
Oh, they could. Yeah. Rockstar are very good at holding back leaks.
Yeah, dude, they're insanely good. But those games are all coming out in the future. But before we do that, let us know what you think. Comment below. Am I too cynical when it comes to this now? Have I burnt myself out on this? I think, should I be more excited? Are expectations wrong? Have you been burned by expectations? These games are coming out this week in a section we called Coming to the Players.
Quite a big list this week.
Nice.
I'll get through it as quick as I can. Blue Reflection, PS4, digital and retail. Danganronpa V3, Killing Harmony, PS4, PS Vita, digital and retail. DWVR, PSVR, digital. Eventide 2, The Sorcerer's Mirror, PS4, digital. Fallout 4 Game of the Year Edition, PS4 digital and retail. FIFA 18, PS4 digital and retail. Firefighters Airport Fire Department, PS4 digital. That's a thrilling thumbnail they've got. These planes about to fucking crash into the tarmac and there's a truck there for no reason. Fort Defense, PS4 digital. Frames of Him, PS4.
Fragments
digital.
Of Him.
Is it? Oh, Fragments of Him, PS4 digital. The Girl and the Robot Deluxe Edition, PS4 retail. Gundam Versus, PS4 digital and retail. Hob, PS4 digital. Koi, PS Vita digital. Light Tracer, PSVR digital. Light Field, PS4 digital. Mahjong World Contest, PS4 digital. Mecho Tales, PS4 digital. I swear we announced this last week. That thumbnail looks very familiar.
Probably.
Ninja Showdown, PS4 digital. Outcast Second Contact, PS4 digital. Pharaonic Deluxe Edition, PS4 retail. Pinball FX3, PS4 digital. Ruiner, there's a good one. PS4 digital. I hope we get a code for that.
Senran Kagura. PS4 ones are a bit delayed. They'll be coming soon.
Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash. PS4 digital and retail. It's anime girls with water guns. We know what kind of game that's going to be. Splasher, PS4 digital. SteamWorld Dig 2.
Hey.
PS4, PS Vita digital crossbuy. Summon Night 6 Lost Borders. PS4, PS Vita retail. Voltron VR Chronicles. PSVR digital. Vrog, PSVR digital. A lot of PSVR games coming out next week.
Yeah, the PSVR games are keep on it coming.
I like Vrog. Be a frog. Your PSVR is your window into the frog world, allowing you to see through the eyes of a frog. Leap your way across the beautiful pond and see what's on the other menu.
Nice work. Not much there.
Ruiner.
Yeah, that one's doing a few. Devolver.
From Devolver, so Hotline Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Ruiner is a brutal action shooter set in the year 2091 in the cyber metropolis Rengkok. That's an interesting name. A wired sociopath lashes out against a corrupt system to retrieve his kidnapped brother and uncover the truth under the guidance of a secretive hacker friend. So it's got similar to Hotline Miami gameplay, but more instead of it being top-down pixely, it's got a lot more graphically going for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Hotline Miami is great, and this seems to be probably a cult hit, I guess. But I'm all for cyberpunk. I love cyberpunk. So.
Yeah. Almost none of that interests me. Fallout 4, Game of the Year award.
Mm, Game of the Year edition.
Game of the Year, whatever.
I know another Fallout big one rocks. Will be SteamWorld Dig 2.
Yeah.
SteamWorld Dig was a runaway success. I didn't get it. I got it on my DS. I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me, but, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah, not much jumping out for old Betson.
You mean Mahjong World Contest doesn't jump out at you?
Ah, well. A bit more of a sarcastic.
Let's see how exciting the write-up is for it. Take part in Mahjong contest. Complete more than 100 unique levels of different difficulty and dynamics to gain experience and earn points. That's actually really disappointing. That's fucking the worst write-up to sell me on Mahjong ever.
Yeah. Josh.
Yeah. Oh, no questions?
Oh, we do have one question. It comes from Max. We normally do the questions before that, and I kind of forgot.
Yeah, but we haven't done that for like the last three episodes.
Because we keep forgetting to get questions. There we go. Max says, my question for this week is, in games that have difficulty settings, changing the difficulty doesn't change the whole gameplay, only combat. It affects the damage you do and the damage you take. How would you implement difficulty changes that change the world of a game or a different aspect of the game that isn't combat?
I mean, Fractured But Whole's doing it. I mean, the difficulty slider is, if you go to hard, you know, you get less money. You just almost ruined our mixing board. Ruiner. but yeah, so...
We need longer cables, is what we need.
Going harder, you know, limits you on the amount of money you get from combat. And, you know, a lot of games do that. You know, you play harder, then you get less resources.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think you're sort of implying, you know, along the lines of, what changes would you put in there that aren't just limiting a resource or something? I think the answer would be puzzles, like Uncharted as an example.
Yeah.
I don't think I mentioned it on the recording, but my stepfather right now is playing The Lost Legacy and he's stuck. There's a puzzle that he just can't get through. He's playing on easy because he's old.
Doesn't have the reflexes.
He doesn't have the dexterity and the reflexes. Yep. So he can't finish Lost Legacy. He loves Uncharted and he can't finish it.
Mm, that's a shame.
And what would be an easy way would be make that puzzle simpler.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Jump on two platforms instead of six or something.
Yeah.
But like, what else can you do? to make it harder, a thing like Bloodborne does, it's like your resources and potions are limited. And like, what else can you do? The game's hard enough as it is because there's no difficulty setting. But other than like limiting resources and making enemies do less damage or you do more damage, I think there's too much more you can do.
Yeah, because most games they're all sort of structured on the idea of dealing and taking damage, right?
Pretty much.
And because that's such the key central...
Don't worry about my laptop.
Okay, it turns on and off and it's shut down, it's closed and it's like, no, I want to turn on now.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You know, because a lot of the games are structured around that combat system, so it's kind of like...
What more can you do?
What more can you take away from it?
Yeah.
Good question, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think there's a good answer for
that. I don't really know because I play all my games on easy if I can. So it's just how they are.
Puss.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I don't finish games because I put it on like medium or hard and I get burnt out.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I don't do it. If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services. More conversation happens on our Facebook community group page, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturists/squeaky chair. You may be able to hear it. More conversation
happens. WD-40 that bad boy.
More conversation happens on our Discord channel. You can get the link for that in the description below. If you happen to really like what we do, please do consider heading over to patreon.com/thepopculturists. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh.
And that was for the players.